Mr. Gormley, reel 43. We're just beginning to talk about your experiences in Montpensier area of Normandy.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the highest hills in the area, and naturally, of course, the whole of the hilltop was occupied by the Germans, and I'm going to take some movement up and either. But anyway, we had a good lucky corps with our 8 hussars. They were marvellous. And they could find a way. If there was a way to be found, they would find it. And I remember it was very difficult at first, because we had to get in among these woods, and we had to find a way through the wood, not only through the wood, but find a way to get to the top. To go up to the top of the mountain where you were all bedded in, really bedded in. And I think the 43rd did was there or not. Aye. Because later on we went to that. Aye. But the Marley sat in the moment, it's just thought it could be a mountain. And
what was your involvement in this particular action?
We were involved in all kinds of things. But one of the most amazing things was the one you've already asked me about, the box bikes. Now, this was a system worked out whereby you put down a box, a complete box, X number of yards. Say 2 meters, or even 1,000 meters, it doesn't matter what it is. Depending on what you want to shift. So, you put down the box by that. You put the barrage down in front of the mirror, and you lift it up 600 yards or whatever, and drop another one down there. And then you lift it forward by it, and you aim for it like this, but you despise it when you're going to put it in the box, what about you come down, because you had them trapped between two barriers, and then you do the same underneath barrier. You put the pretty curtain down behind it, nobody's going to get through it one way or the other.
And this was a flanking curtain as well to stop them coming in from the flanks?
Yeah. You take the whole area out bit by bit like that. And that's what we...
And were you firing on precision distances or what?
Every inch time to the second. To the second. As you walk in, this body's blocking them off. And there's no way they can get out of it.
So you're working on your watch, in effect?
Working on your watch all the time. All the time.
And you'd be given the times of the...
Every step of that barrage is timed to the second. To the second. It starts at a time and it stops at a time. And the only time you can get in is kind of straight in and get them before they do anything about it. And then you lift it up and do it the same again. And you went right up the bloody mountainside like that. And you've got a more on the top, haven't you? Pretty clever, like, I don't know how to work it out, but it's pretty brilliant. And you know exactly, where every shell is going to fall in that area. And, step by step, like a couple steps out of the staircase.
This was getting towards the end of the Normandy campaign because Germans were about to, in effect, you got your fillet's gap closing.
It was just a case of, well, came off this mountain column, which was a dominating feature of the whole area, you know, and you had to get them off there. So we got up to the top, and then, because before that, we'd been going around all these pretty good tracks and firing blind, actually, you know. There's no way you could say, well, there's an enemy up there. You had no means of getting up there to observe it, anything like that. So you just like more or less getting a mark on the map. Well, what the Dutch and Belgium there, the Dutch and Belgium there, but you didn't know where you found them.
In addition then to a prepared and planned barrage, no doubt you would be on call to help any particular infantry unit that got held up, did you?
Not while this was in process.
No, not while, I'm thinking in terms of another aspect of your work.
No, not while this was in process.
But if an infantry unit did hit opposition, did they then call for your...
The wireless call, you know, somebody in the wireless said, can you spare X number of guns out of the barrage? You know, and so you would just take X number of guns out of the barrage, which wouldn't make it that much extent, but then again, it might help somebody up in the trouble. Normally, once you spoke about it started, you've got to get it completed.
So you got to the village. The mountain was taken. Yeah. What happened to you after that?
Well, when we left with the 43rd division. 43rd division to give them. They must have been their extra artillery support for the remainder of the task that was left.
And by this time the gap was closing, wasn't it? Which is August, and they began to pull out. Did you at this point from D-Day on the 6th of June right through to the middle end of August kind of date, did you get any break away from the fighting as a division? Were you pulled into rest at all?
The only rest we had was when we went back to the Premier Joint 30 Corps. There was no rest. I mean, it was a rest as far as we were concerned because we were out of action.
There was no... few days in Bayeux or relaxing?
We never saw Bayeux after going to over the 50s in the first instance. We never saw.
And no entertainment came up to you in the lines at all?
No answer, cinemas
or whatever?
We've got the floors and we've got everything established and we're moving forward. I mean, you do get things like that in the back area, but we never saw anything like that.
But you didn't personally get...
No, not personally, no. The only time I saw anything like that was much later on. And I went back to the camp to get dishes from Holland. So that was the very first break I remember that. And that was right through to when we're talking. So I never...
It would appear that the artillery got less release from action than probably the infantry did. Although the infantry were fighting most of the time at the front.
But
little groups were pulled out to on rest. What were the food supplies coming through? What were they? Were you getting American and Canadian stuff as well as the British? Did you eat by individual gun crews or batteries or what?
Yes. Normally, as long as you leave in your study, you had time to prepare a meal. You were doing a meal for you. But when you were fully in action like that, you never got anything like that. So there were bully big biscuits or tins of McConaughey stew. So anything like that, the tin of McConaughey stew, you know, it's like a Christmas dinner with it's a breakfast. At least, once you got to eat it, it means if you didn't eat it, you could eat it.
Did you have any of the self-heating soups and things that?
Oh yes, on the tin? We always have it next door to them on the board. We could only, as I said, you could only put whatever you could get on it because we weren't interested in things like that. We've got we want was pretty shells.
What experience had you of contact with French civilians in Normandy? So evidently they weren't particularly friendly at times.
I don't think they ever were. We had the same
was this of your is the same as your experience? Did you find them this way?
I didn't find them conducive to it at all. To Americans, probably anybody else, not the British. I don't know why.
Do you recall meeting any of them in any particular instance?
I met quite a number of them, like, you know, but not really to talk to them, you know, they're off to talk to them, like, but you didn't have to attack them. Most of the places we've gone to, they've all been destroyed. They weren't very rubble. And I killed them. All these places have all been very threatened, not only by us, but by Air Force.
There were a lot of cattle, dead cattle lying around?
Oh, yeah, that was up in the parade. That was dead cattle all the time, you know, whatever they were. It's a problem. You kind of died them all the time.
So along with the noise of your actions, you had the smells as well, presumably. Did you come across any actions by the retreating Germans to kill civilians or destroy places just because they were pulling out?
I must be honest about that. I never saw anybody like stepping out of line in that respect. No, although there again, as I say, you were on the spearhead, so most of the time you were on the spearhead, so you didn't really.
And we're basically we've come to this position now when the breakout of the thing. So what are your memories of the of this pursuit?
You were advancing maybe 20 miles a day, you know, which is fantastic compared to what would be normally 20 bloody yards, 20 miles.
Did you go through the Falaise Gap? Did you see the destruction? And
I saw the destruction. We bypassed it. We came down the end, more or less down the end of it. More or less just the toe, you know.
What are your memories of that area?
One of the sticks in my mind was that it had been the oxen pulling cart and pulling guns and that. Funny, you know, it's funny the things that actually come to your mind and stick in your mind. I mean, there was oxen pulling dirty carts, gun members and that. And another one, with a pretty steam wagon came down the road, pulling a gun, with a pretty smoke chucking out the top of it. It's funny, like, even during the war, I used to look at the funny side of things. You know, I could always say the funny side, maybe I'm still the same today.
And the bodies and the equipment and so forth, yeah.
It was unbelievable. You see the bodies and that were lying. You could only say to yourself, "Why the hell? Why the hell should this have done that? What happened? What the hell was that?" I honestly did that. What the hell are we doing this fight for? I said, "Not only the bloody same as this." I said, "Well, they're fighting for that one, and I'm fighting for this one." And I said, "Check yourself, I'm pretty mad. I'm pretty mad. You shouldn't be here."
Do you recall the route that you were following during the pursuit?
We were heading for Ghent. That's where we were heading for. fact that that was the place that was better be able to spend. The guards on the given buses out there. And they all looked up there. And they were this way.
Did you brush with the enemy in this pursuit?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, all the way back. I'm just going to have a quick look here. After being reinforced, we pushed on to Liverpool, where, again, we found a designated town. The people were being very filled with misconduct, and everywhere was being designated. The whole of the area was covered by these tigers and panthers.
So you had quite a bit of a fight around that area.
Yeah, yeah. And, the cops were through the high ground, they were sent here to knock them back the town that they couldn't deal with this.
And were these not in large forces? These were just a rear guard?
Oh, no, it's rear guard, you know, like they're more or less a rear guard. Just a delaying tactics, that's all that, you know.
Were you getting a reception from the civilians now as you came through the villages and towns?
Yeah. So they were spectacular back for mile after mile, I thought. Mile after mile down the road. They flyed over here, you know, and I had a good 20 miles. When we walked, we got to St. George's. And then we got up to the ending here.
So as you went along, every so often you bumped into an enemy rear guard. Presumably that was the way that was going.
Yeah. Dillian tactics by the enemy. They're still strongly defended as well, mostly of some of them, right? You know, the others they just part on. And we're about 20 miles off Ghent, and we had another hole up in Ghent before getting to Ghent. And we rode up to Ghent there. And well, we did not get to get that. We pulled up outside Ghent because this is like more or less from the history because we didn't know what was happening. But they tried to get this general there. I think Walsh was called him, general. This general was to leave Ghent as an open town. And they sent these emissaries in to discuss with our general. But all the time that we were discussing with us, like, they were telling us, and we were trying to get them to eventually, we agreed to open the town, leave the town open, I should say. And they decided to pull out. But they didn't go that far. They just went far enough. And even then, the shells were still falling on us. So the sugar was where we went. So we didn't get the chance to look at them because we had to carry off. They were fighting. The ones that came up behind us, they were the ones that celebrated. Because as we went through, and the rest of the entire, out come all the women and they were buying and everything, and they were dancing on the streets and that, when they looked behind you, just to look where we look.
So you didn't get that, you went straight through the town.
We went straight through the town and caught up with the enemy, started fighting all over again like that.
Was the enemy opposition stiffening by now?
Oh, yes, it was. They were fighting very strongly at that time, yeah. Yes, it still fights very strongly.
And where did you go to after Ghent? By now you'd be coming up to the border with Holland, that area. Did you get involved with Market Garden, the Arnhem and the Bridges actions?
Our next stop was being held up there, which was a place called Port Arthur. We were held up there for quite a while, and the wrecking co-op over the cliffs, the dark, they just did a little detour and from the bridge that was intact further down the road, and so the bike was back there, so we just did the hood, did it off the road, right now they were just let them behind, let the others come up behind it, carry on with it. But I don't know how the position was to get on as far as we could, and as far as, as far as we could possibly get before we left it. It was amazing. And it was like 7 years ago, the weather would change again. And, then we were some months off and holding this railway embankment, and we were defending that very strongly. We were in the Culverts, we were the principal one back up that place. Oh, that's the risky. The railway held that door, we were going tentative to leave on that one at any given stage of the time. But never mind.
So when you bumped anybody, obviously you would be called into action yourselves straight away.
Oh yes. As soon as any action, any kind of action, you would call in, and the boots would be called, and bear down on them, and then you know, and it was much better.
And this was basically the pattern all the way through now.
We were never short of time. So anywhere on this road, the whole area was ablaze with
prisoners. Were you taking prisoners in any numbers?
Oh yes, yes. But we just fed them back.
Did you see any yourselves? Were there any signs of the Germans were calling on the very young at this stage, or the very old? Was there a change in the kind of troops you were catching?
Not really. Not at that particular point. No. Much later. That there was young children, young guys,
you know. Well, what's your next memory now that we're getting up towards Holland? And
we had a hell of a battle at Manford, because we got on this embankment, the Hussars were flung this way around, and they found a little bridge, and we were sent on the back. We actually went on the back of our SPs, and they come in from behind them, and we had a hell of a battle on there, and went on them for 3 days, and we had them trapped, and we knew we were going to get out, This is what we've been waiting for all the time. And this has been worth waiting for, really. We just absolutely burned. And we didn't learn them, but we shot them and bloody killed them. Like, couldn't do anything else, we just carried on. And we did everything we possibly could to beat them. And in the end, we all surrendered. You know, so I'm saying, loads of prisoners, but loads of prisoners in there. And just fed them all back there. And then they moved on from there towards Belgium, what was called Newburg. And we weren't doing anything there, like, it was just being all the way through. And we got a battle at Tantline and a while over the place where the battle had been for that, probably from the previous for the guys at Armageddon. I have no idea. But and then from there, we went on to the river. We were arrived at the river in Belgium.
This is
then this is where we made off to the city of Ghent, where I had to
This was on the road to Ghent.
This was on the way to Ghent.
Yeah.
This was on the way to Ghent. I've got a fucking story there, because this was actually on the road to Ghent, which is in Belgium.
Yeah, but that's all. So we've got the Ghent bit. We'll go right through Ghent, and
so we went on from Ghent, and we pushed on, the bridges. That was one sort. Wherever we went, the bridges were always moving. We would blow them up and put the ice. So as soon as I saw European, it would go to charges, and up would go the bridge, and up would go the April Yard, and it would turn 6 minutes back there, and sometimes if you're lucky, you'll find a bridge that hadn't been touched, and then you'll detour all around, back and around, and come up behind them again, and then you'll be behind them, and they'll turn around and start fighting to get away back up.
And if you couldn't find bridges, presume you were held up until the engineers put something across.
If you were held up that way, I mean, if it was just a canal, you could, you know, there was always ways you could get across the canal, like, you know, that is proper plates and that you could show more, which would take the weight of the tank. But if it was any more than that, like, you know, you'd have to let a bearing bridge.
And you had your own engineer units with you?
Engineer units were up and behind you all the time, but you had to have them, especially in Belgium, especially as and when we got the whole thing, you know. We needed them all the time, you had to have them all the time.
What was your role when Arnhem came in the September?
I remember we were pulling alongside the road, actually. And we weren't doing anything, we were more or less in reserve at that time. And because we'd come up there from Ghent, and we crossed over the border. And I was in them, we're just looking up and seeing thousands and thousands of, well, it seems like 30,000 of aircraft guys. And we hadn't a clue what was happening. You know, we were just looking up, and all we could see was fucking gliders. And planes falling as well, right? And we said, what the hell's going on there? Where the hell did they come from? Over there, mate. Couldn't make out where they were. Always a fence that night, you know. And of course, they just sailed over. And of course, then they started coming through on the wider side. They said, you've just seen the Amara go over to Arnhem. They didn't say anything, right? They said the Amara had just passed over, like,
And what was your, ultimately, as you say, you're in reserve, did you actually get involved in fighting your way up that road to try and relieve them?
No, we went on that road. But that happened with them, didn't it?
So you were in Holland, and of course Arnhem did. So Arnhem, as we know, didn't materialise. It was a failure in effect. When the battles or the situation settled down for the winter months, where were you then?
We were in Holland.